knowing and honoring that you are the one who knows yourself best. And so you need to ask for what you need. Nobody can read our mind.
Hi, everyone. I'm Donnie, and welcome to another podcast episode by Products by Women. Today, I have with myself Ruchika. Ruchika is a product owner at a large financial firm, a mother of two beautiful kids, and also a meditation teacher. We'll talk about balancing work and life while working from home, self-care, and also how to take care of one's mental health during the pandemic. Thank you, Ruchika, for joining our podcast today and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is really something nice you are doing, spreading so much awareness, women who are in technology, who are working and trying to launch their careers, and also, you know, with that mental health aspect. So thank you so much for having me here. I'm happy to contribute in any way I can.
Thank you for coming to our podcast. We are excited to have you and listen to your insights. Do you want to share how did you get into product management and what has your journey been like?
You know, I did an MBA many, many years ago, and my specialization was actually finance and marketing. But unfortunately, at that time, the job market for finance was very bad. So I said, okay, why not I take a technology job that supports banking and financial services firms? So that's what I ended up doing. And I kind of like sort of, I would say, stumbled into from one role to the other to finally get to a place where I was formally sort of product owner, managing products across various subject matters, so to speak. And I think a lot of it had to do with me asking and taking leaps of faith, I would say, to say like, you know, I think I can do this. I know I'm not 100% qualified, but I have very special, specific skills that I bring to the table, which are fungible from, let's say, one area to the other. And I think people saw what I brought to the table in terms of my specialized skills. So even though the subject matter might not have been my comfort zone, my skill set helped me through. And again, I think I attribute that to being able to ask and raise my hand.
Thanks for sharing that lovely story, Ruchika. You also spoke about something like you stretched your comfort zone. So can you speak a little about that? A lot of times I have seen women, especially women when they're just starting out, they suffer from imposter syndrome and feeling like you're not good enough. What advice would you give to someone who feels like they're not qualified for a job?
I love this question because it is so common, and it's surprising how common it actually is. One may feel that, oh, I'm the only one feeling this way. But when you ask around, there are several people. And it's not just when you're starting off. Interestingly, what I've seen the research is that it's even at the mid-level and sometimes even at the higher levels where people question, like, how did I even get here? You know, what got me here? So I myself, I think, have gone through this several times in different ways, right? At the beginning, it was like, well, you know, I don't really have the 100% qualifications for this role. Like, should I even say anything? Or I clearly remember that one of the times that I got promoted, I remember I was like, did I get promoted because that person in management likes me, or whether I actually did the right work, you know? And it takes a lot of self-awareness to realize what is happening in our minds. And our minds tend to stick to the negative. The tendency is to cling to the negative. And so, you know, you may have 10 positive things or 9 positive things, and this may be one thing which sort of sets you back or makes you feel doubtful, and the doubt increases and increases. And that's where it becomes sometimes, like, as you said, imposter syndrome, where you're like, am I really an expert? Am I really qualified, etc.? So I think self-awareness is a big contributor to addressing that imposter syndrome, taking a step back, getting perspective, seeing how far we have come, you know, where we started and where we are. Those are some of the things I have used myself to realize whether in those moments where I'm like, am I really deserving of this? And you realize, yes, you are, because you have put in the work.
But how does one become more self-aware? For me, some days are good and some days are bad. And it is so hard to be self-aware when I'm not having a great day, I'll be honest. Whether it's stress from work or stress at home, I feel like I cannot even pinpoint what is the source of my stress.
For me, as you said, some days are good, some days are not that great. For me, what I've noticed is I have a meditation practice that I have been doing since 1999. Of course, there are days when I don't do it, and there are some days when I'm like very regular. What I have noticed is that the days when I don't do it, the way I handle things and what comes at me in life is very different from the days that I do it. What I've realized is that maybe the circumstance outside does not change, but really it's my state of mind that is, if it is positive and uplifted because I am putting in 20 minutes of my day to focus on meditation and breathing and again, uplift my life energy, then I find that the way I handle everything else during the day is much more smoother compared to those days when I don't. So when I say that there are good days and bad days, I also realize myself that there are some of those days are smoother because I have invested in myself and some days are not. And then at the end of the day, I think it's hard, right? Like, especially recently with all the events that have been going on in the world, like there will be hard days. And I think the most important thing is to give ourselves grace, mm-hmm. to allow those feelings to exist, to let them pass through the system, to be honest, because the more we resist feelings of negativity, etc., or you're feeling a little sad, or you're feeling tired, exhausted, etc., like just letting that go through the system sometimes is better than suppressing it, because then that actually results in consequences that are more long-term, you know, even can affect our health, etc.
Since the pandemic has started, a lot of people have seen an increase in stress. Can you speak about how to take care of one's mental and physical health while they are working from home? And especially for women who are expected to work from home while having to take care of their kids.
So I think this is a situation that is personal to each person, right? As you said, and there's already been research done in the past 6 months on how, you know, the women have been disproportionately affected by the events of the pandemic, right? There's a great saying that women are expected to work as if they don't have a family and expected to take care of their family and children as if they don't have work. So I would say a couple of things. One is that I am lucky because my company has been very understanding of, you know, my personal situation and across the board that culture exists. They do allow that conversation to happen. Everybody was, you know, sort of taken aback by the 2020 events and the quarantine, etc. So having some flexibility. So I think I am lucky to be working in a company that has that, but not everybody has that privilege. And so I think the other part of taking care of oneself is that knowing our limits, asking for help in a way that is not when we have already burnt out and much before we get burnt out. And so when we can and are amongst the people that we can realistically ask for help, I feel like as women, we tend to take on all the work on our own. And for the most part, we are the people responsible. But again, just reaching out, extending a hand and saying, please help me in X, Y, Z. So I'll give you some examples. My husband actually does not stay with me. He works in a different state. So I've been solo parenting for the past couple of years myself. And when the pandemic hit, like there were a lot of challenges. But one of the things I tried to do was to ask him to take on some of that work that I was doing, but could be done remotely, for example, right? So everything related to even like ordering groceries online and everything, I asked him to take care of it because it just takes one less thing off my head, for example, right? And so I think that's one thing, asking for help. The second thing is really ruthlessly, we have to prioritize our mental health, and we may not have more time. A lot of people are like, oh my God, I have so much time. I don't know what to do with myself because I can't go out. I have the opposite problem. It's like, I have no time. My commute time was my me time, for example. I realized that only later. Ruthlessly then saying, I need 10 minutes. I need 20 minutes and whatever that is. And sometimes you'd be surprised. Children are so understanding. So, of course, the baby, you know, wouldn't understand. But my five-year-old, I told her on several days, Mama needs 10 minutes to herself, or I need to go for a walk on my own. I need to go upstairs to meditate for a few minutes. Please let me. And, you know, you'll be surprised how intuitive kids are to knowing where their mother's mental health is. And so I found that, again, like just being ruthless about taking 10 minutes also in our day to do something for ourselves. That could be meditation. That could be from listening to music. That could be dancing. That could be just reading a book. That could be just going out for a short walk. So many things that, like, again, getting creative with our time because there's so little of it. It's absolutely, I think, getting non-negotiable. And now we're at 8 months of this, or 9 months, I think. It's only like getting worse in the short term. So I really feel that's what we need to do.
Gotcha, Ruchika. And I totally agree. Sometimes we just have to ruthlessly prioritize. Because I've seen myself do this. I have put other non-essential things first. And then, you know, then think about my mental health. There have been times I will go and do laundry first and meditate in the afternoon or in the evening. I feel like a lot of us, even if we did practice this prioritization, how do we communicate it with people who, say, might not be our family? How do we communicate that I need time off and do it in such a mindful way that the other person does not feel offended or does not feel disrespected?
So that's a very interesting question, because sometimes actually we cannot control the other person's reaction. Mm-hmm. So I think that what I have slowly learned is that I was a people pleaser for most of my young adult life. And I would say even in my early years of marriage and etc. and career for sure. And so I basically said yes to a lot of things because I didn't want to upset anybody, or I wanted to make sure that they know that I'm a hard worker or etc. So I was a pretty much like a serial people pleaser, so to speak. And it's, again, a lot of self-awareness, a lot of introspection, which basically came from me through that meditation practice, getting to know myself better and realizing that no one else is going to look out for me except myself at the end of the day. Everybody else cannot read my mind. And so what I used to do, I think, is in my people-pleasing attitude, I would say yes to everything and then burn myself out. And when I finally came to a point where I wanted to say no, it was so emotional. It came from a place of exhaustion. And so my communication was confrontational. You know, it used to end up becoming a much more difficult conversation. What I then started doing is slowly anticipating that, again, no one else will know what I need. And so if I can articulate that early in the process, then I will be able to say it more calmly. I will be able to come from a place of presence to the situation and then let it go as to how that other person receives it. Because at the end of the day, that is their perspective, right? Like how they react is on them, but how I communicate is on me. And I felt like I don't want to wait till I actually burn out and then make this a whole drama. I would rather address it early. And it took a lot of work. I'm still not perfect. I will tell you this because I know that I sometimes at the brink of, at the end of my tether, but especially, you know, outside family, you have to be careful, of course. But even with family, you know, we take them for granted. So I think, again, knowing and honoring that you are the one who knows yourself best. And so you need to ask for what you need. Nobody can read our mind. That was my, I think, journey.
Thank you, Ruchika. That's a very interesting perspective. And I'll be honest, I haven't heard that before. And I totally agree. Listening and honoring yourself first and just letting it be is such an authentic way to take care of yourself. And since you spoke about meditation, is there a particular practice that you follow? Is there an app that you use? Can you recommend anything to our listeners who might be interested in trying out meditation?
Yeah, I learned a form of breathing technique. It's an active meditation technique. It's called the sky breath meditation. I learned that back in 1999. And then eventually I also learned this mantra meditation practice called Sahaj Samadhi. Both of them, I will be honest again, with the mom life and with the events of this year, especially and juggling so many things, I don't have the time to do all of that and the luxury of doing all of that. So for me, it's come down to definitely just focusing on my sky breath meditation practice. It's a very energizing practice. So it actually makes me feel more energetic to handle my day. And then I also do, when I don't have enough time, I also do guided meditations. There's an app that I use called Sattva, S-A-T-T-V-A, that has a lot of guided meditations for, you know, what mood I'm in or what I'm feeling like or what I think I need in that moment. So they're shorter meditations. So, you know, those are sometimes more realistic.
I'll definitely check out that app. We have an app for everything, so why not meditate using an app? As my last question, what advice would you give not only to women, but to anybody who thinks that their life has been taken over by stress, especially, you know, during the pandemic? How does one achieve that very elusive work-life balance during these crazy times?
People get to this in different ways, right? Like one thing that works for me may not work for somebody else. But I think the biggest question is that what is stress, right? So to me, stress is having so many things to do and so little time. And so that to-do list keeps growing and the time that we have does not. So I feel that either we can increase the amount of energy we have so we can handle that to-do list, or we can increase time, but that's not possible, right? Especially this year has really shown people how much out of control things can be for us. Doing whatever uplifts what I call life energy, right? Or prana. For me, that is my meditation practice. For somebody else, it might be music. Or for somebody else, it might be spending quality time with family. For somebody else, it might be even something like indulging in their hobbies, etc. Whatever it is, I think the biggest, most important thing for men, women, anybody out there to know that we are, to borrow a line from this ad that I remember, we are worth it, right? I am worth it. And so really carving out some time to increase our life energy. And so increasing life energy is not necessarily the same for everybody, but whatever that is that really makes you joyful, enthusiastic, compassionate, you know, doing those things regularly.
Love the insight, Ruchika. Do more of what makes you happy. Our listeners can follow Ruchika in Instagram at Meditating Mommy, where she regularly shares updates about motherhood, meditation, and how to achieve work-life balance.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a nice conversation.
Products by Women is a diverse global community for women in tech, innovation, and beyond. You can find more about us at productsbywomen.com. If you want to be featured in our journal or podcast, please email us at info@productsbywomen.com.